I can say amen to the power of a short-term mission trip because I myself was on a less than short-term mission trip myself. I spent 12 days in the nation of Mongolia. And some of you have no idea that there's a nation called Mongolia, and that's okay. It is a nation of about 3.7 million people, and roughly 1% of them are Christian. 1%. They are classified as an unreached people group. And so this is my second trip to Mongolia. Pastor Gary and I, Pastor Gary is currently our missions pastor. He had been for many years the campus pastor of the Brighton Heights location. And so he and I, we went to Mongolia because he is a director for a ministry that we partner with called Global Roar. It is a school. It is a curriculum that specializes in going predominantly in unreached places to train the pastors and leaders and Christians in that place to do the effective work of the ministry. And so I had the opportunity to spend several days in a city in Mongolia called Darhan, which is where I had been about a year and a half ago, serving there and training, finishing a 2.5-year ministry school for pastors in the area so that they can go out and not only make a difference and reach their nation. I want you to get a frame of reference here. 3.7 million people, 1% of that is roughly 30 to 35,000 Christians in this country. So if you took all of the Christians in Mongolia and put them into Akrasur Stadium, it wouldn't be half full. That should resonate with you. Because that means that 99% of that country, if Jesus returned today, would spend an eternity in hell. This should resonate more. There should be some more sense. We've become stupefied to the fact that many places in our world are lost. But even more do they want to go and serve their nation. I want you to get this. Christianity has only been there since the late 80s because they were a nation prior to 1990, that lived under communist rule. They were part of the Soviet Union. And I'm thankful. You know, politics are not that important, but they are important. Because I'm thankful that we have paved roads and food to eat. Anybody... this on. And so many of the Christians that are there are first-generation Christians. The vast majority of the people that we worked with in these schools were people who had lived under communist rule, come to know Jesus, and now God has put a fire in their belly. It's actually easier to preach. It was easier to say this to people that didn't know my language. Help me out today. And so they want to not just come to church and be a nice little Christian. They want to go out and reach their country. And so God has not only given them a vast, ripe harvest field of 99% of people who don't know Jesus, but they also have access. They can enter countries that you and I couldn't go into. They can go in without visas. They can go into North Korea, the most closed country in the world. They can go into China, probably the second most closed country in the world. They can go into Russia. They can go into Muslim nations that were also once a part of the Soviet Union, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan. They can go into all of these places. And so Pastor Gary and I had the opportunity to go and share and to train. But one of the things that was so exciting and so impactful and so powerful while we were there was not just the training. The training we could have did over Zoom. But it's the impartation of the power of God. When we decide to get up off of our butts and actually go do something with what Jesus gave us to do, You, by virtue of living in this country, no matter how rich or how poor you are born in probably the top 5% of blessed people, not just on the earth now, but have ever lived on the earth. You have been given great resource and great opportunity to make a difference in your world. And so I would encourage you to not take that for granted. Because not only did we get to train people who are literally going into places where they will lose their life for their faith. Literally. But it's the power of God that got deposited in them. And many of you who know Pastor Gary, he operates, he has a very strong prophetic anointing on him. And some of you might be like, what is that? Or I don't know if I agree with all of that. But here's what I know. I can flow in the prophetic. It's not my primary, secondary, or even tertiary gifting, but the fact that I know the Word of God means that I function in the prophetic anyway, because the Scripture is the highest form of prophecy, and I'm going to share it with you here today. But to be in an environment where I'm sharing what God is putting on my heart for people who don't understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, and watching the Holy Spirit minister to them, and they begin to weep and thank God through the translator. Even before the translation is coming, they're feeling the power of God. And so, like Carl, I would encourage you, whether it's an 8-hour trip down south to help people that really need it, or a 30-plus hour trip halfway around the world, it is a 12-hour time difference, and I'm still trying to figure out where I am. So some of you are like, thank God he ain't gonna preach long today. I preached, it's crazy, because a week ago, right now, well actually not right now because it's a 12-hour time difference, but I was preaching in a church where I needed a translator, and by the grace of God, I finished in 38 minutes. That was probably about a 22-minute sermon, or not even that, but I want to encourage you today, if I can, as we start this new series on biblical stewardship, I want to encourage you in the strongest of terms to not make light of the opportunity and resources that God has given you to make a difference in the world. Don't be like the majority of Christians in our country that are lazy and we're selfish. We are. And if that's you, I'm not calling you names. I'm just giving you an opportunity to repent. The truth, the knowledge of the truth is what will set you free. And so I want to encourage you to not make light of the gifts that God has given you, the resources, the opportunity that God has given you to make a difference in the world. Because I know as I'm standing here today, I know I'm not the only person that, even before knowing Jesus, I just had a feeling in my gut that there was something more to life. Have you ever felt that way? You just knew intrinsically that there's something more than this. There's something more to be gained. There's something more to be had. There's something more to be experienced. There's something more to be done. And you just knew it inside of you, but you never really knew how to unlock it or tap into it or to find it. Or maybe you're here today and you're in a situation or have been in a situation in your life where you just feel like the things that you want are just out of reach. Have you ever felt that way? You can see it, right? It's like the golden goose is just 3 inches out of your grasp. And so whether it's the fact that you just feel in your body, in your soul, that you know there's something more and you'd like to have that more, or you know that there's more and you can see it, but it feels elusive. It feels like you can never get your hands on it today. Well, then this message today in this series is for you, because today we're going to be talking about biblical stewardship. What is biblical stewardship? Well, biblical means it's from the Bible. Because there's a lot of things that we can do in our lives that aren't from the Bible. True. And many of us, one of those resources that God has given us is the fact that we not only can have a physical Bible in a language we understand, we can have the whole thing. And we can have it public. And most of us never pick it up and read it. Places where the people that we were training are going to go, they're lucky if they have a page of a Bible and they could die, or worse, if somebody discovered they had that. I want you to get that for a minute. But we have this book. We have all of this information that comes from God. And if we read it or if we have any semblance of what's inside of it, we get bent out of shape when it says things we don't like or we don't want to do. And so when we talk about biblical anything, we're talking about things that come from the Bible. And everything that comes from the Bible is good, whether you like it or not. Jesus is the King of the universe. You don't have to agree with him. You get to agree with him. But you'll never win the argument. You'll never win the argument. So I'd encourage you to get into this thing. But in this thing, it talks about many things, and one of those things is stewardship. And some of you are like, well, what is stewardship? Some of you right now are thinking of the little kid from Family Guy, Stewie. Is this something about him? Well, stewardship is a word that we don't use very much in our culture. And so we're going to explain that word, and then we're going to describe what biblical stewardship looks like. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to set the tone with a few verses here, just a couple verses. And then we're going to look at a well-known passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 25. So that's going to be our primary text for today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "This is how one should regard us." Now the "us" here specifically is Paul and other ministers who have ministered and led at the church in Corinth. People in Corinth are Corinthians. So Paul is speaking to Corinthians, and he's primarily speaking about himself. Now I want to pause because I also believe that what Paul says to varying degrees can extrapolate over onto anyone who is a blood-bought, born-again believer. And so Paul says, this is how one should regard us. Now, again, he's speaking primarily about apostolic leaders, people who lead. But like I said, I think that this includes all other Christians. He says, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. So we see that weird word, steward. Now, I want to give you a heads up. Steward is a function or a type of servant. And so because many of us, really, in our application of God's lordship in our life, the way we operate with and towards God really reflects more like God is our servant and he's here to do stuff for us, rather than the biblical understanding of servanthood, where we are here bought by him, owned by him, slaves to him, to do his will in the earth. And one of his things is a steward. And Paul here says the mysteries of God, and that's important. Because a steward is a manager of the affairs of a household, a guardian or overseer of someone else's property or someone else's possessions. I want to pause right there. Because this is going to be the most important aspect of you grasping not just this message today or just this series that we're going to be in here for the next couple of weeks, but really for the rest of your life. And I'm going to help you out today greatly if you'll let me. Psalm 24 verse 1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Okay? And all who live in it. So what am I trying to help you out with? Those clothes you're wearing, you're not wearing your clothes, you're wearing his clothes. This fancy Mongolian shirt that I got hangs in my closet, but it doesn't belong to me because my closet isn't my closet, it's God's closet. The money in your pocket or in your bank account ain't yours. God's. The time you spend during the day, 84,600 seconds everybody gets, ain't yours. It's God's. The skills and abilities that you have, that you use to make money, make people laugh, make dinner, frustrate people, because I got a good skill in that. All of that belongs to God. It's not yours. You are a steward of that. God gives it to you. It's his possessions. There's a song we sing every once in a while. It's your breath in our lungs. It's not your personal space, it's his. And this is a good time I'd like to help you out with this too. Let's say you don't got it. Some of you are like, I don't got no money in my bank account anyway, so I guess God ain't got no money. Well, here's the other good thing. Your problems is his problems. Oh, my. Somebody should have fell out of their chair and thanked Jesus. Because some of y'all are fighting for things and trying to get things and worrying about things. It's his problem. It's his problem. But we see that we're stewards. But Paul uses this word here, mysteries. See, and when we think of mysteries in our American language, we think of unsolvable or unknowable things. We'll never know. But the word mystery in the Bible literally means something that is hidden from the common gaze but is waiting to be revealed. And so the reason why I want us to understand that we're not just stewards of our time and of our treasure and of our talent, but we're stewards of the mysteries of God. Why is that important? Because there is insight, wisdom, power, authority, healing, joy that is hidden from the common gaze. But if we do what we ought to do and steward what we have well, we will also have access to the mysteries of God. Are you with me today? See, I believe our culture has moved us more to a materialistic way of seeing things, because the devil knows if we ever tap into the mysteries of God, oh, he might have a problem in America. And so Paul says we are stewards of the mysteries of God, and that's how we should regard ourselves. Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 4, moreover, and this is the point that's important, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. So maybe you're here today and you sound excited about having access to the mysteries of God. But you wonder why it feels like it's out of reach. Well, today the challenge for us is this. Are you a faithful steward of what God has given you? Because if you are, you have access to everything that's his. If you're not, you will always feel like there's more that you just can't grab. And so I want to help us out today as we dive into this topic of biblical stewardship. And so here's our big idea for today. Are you ready? Big idea for today. Biblical stewardship is a mindset. Right? Because your behaviors start in your mind. Now, for some of you, your behaviors start in your emotions, and you got to let that emotion filter through your mind. Okay? I'm going to help you out today. But it's a mindset that acknowledges three important things. First and foremost, it acknowledges that everything comes from God. We just touched on that. If you don't get that, if you don't grab a hold of the fact that when the ushers come forward here in a few moments to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings, we're not asking you for your money. We're giving you an opportunity to return God's money to him. That's your job as a steward. And as ministers, it's our job, the leadership of the church, to steward what you entrust to us from God well as well. And so, everything belongs to God. It's a mindset. You got to get that locked into your brain. And again, it's helpful. If you remember that everything belongs to God, your problems belong to God. I don't sweat when things are tight financially, because they're not my problems. They're God's problems. The second thing is, we are managers, not owners. Already covered that. It ain't yours. It ain't yours. How many parents do I have in the house? Couple, yeah, come on. Or maybe you're here today, and obviously you're not a parent, but you have parents. And so maybe you're one of those people like I was back in the day, about 8 years old. I was tired of my mom. So I was going to run away. I'm sick of living in this house. Now, some of you grew up in houses where you wouldn't have been allowed to finish the sentence because you'd have caught a shoe, like a boomerang. Your mother would have turned into Dahl Seam from Street Fighter and extended her hand across the room, and somehow the back of your hand would have met the side of your cheek. But I remember as an eight-year-old, I'm tired of this house. I'm leaving. I'm getting my stuff and going. My mom didn't say nothing. She just let my fool-headed self go. I stomped up, and I started packing my bag. I'm going to take my Atari 2600. Couldn't fit my little black and white TV in there. No, we couldn't afford an Atari at eight. But I'm packing all my stuff up, and I come down the stairs, my little giant nickel bags full clothes. My mom says, "Where are you going?" "I'm leaving. I'm tired of living in this house." She said, "Well, what you got in your hands?" "Got my stuff." She said, "No, you have my stuff." She said, "And even though you belong to me, you are free to go, but you can't take anything that I bought you. So have fun out there naked." I ain't never try to run away again. But see, we got to get this thing. Look, we're not owners, we're managers. Everything we have, our time, our treasure, and our talent, it's all on loan to us from God. And as we're going to see here in a moment, God, there's going to be a day where God calls you to account with what you did with the things he gave you. And that's the third point. We will give an account to God. See, guys, you got to get this. Please hear me. Understand this. Christianity in America has allowed us to believe this ridiculous notion that somehow we're doing God a favor by giving our lives to him. Somehow God should be thankful that we come to church, that we give or we serve. Or, you know, I didn't cuss that person out. Good, you shouldn't have. But see, we got to flip the script on this, because God is going to call us to account. The Bible actually says that God will call us to account for every idle word that comes out of our mouth. And you should allow the conviction of that statement to rest well in your soul, because some of us say some stupid things. Yours truly is the main one. And so we have to get this mindset of what biblical stewardship is. And so if you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn over with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture. Like I said, it's pretty well known, and it's called the Parable of the Talents. Fun fact, just to help you out as we're reading here, a talent in this text is a unit of money. It's not an ability. But because of this parable's effect on Western society, the most impactful effect on Western society is the Bible. So because of this parable's effect on Western society, we call our abilities, and you'll see why here in a minute, we call them talents. But in this text, a talent is a unit of money, all right? And so Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to start reading at verse 14. This is Jesus speaking, hence the red letters. "For it will be like a man going on a journey." What is it? It is the kingdom of God. Right before this, Jesus told another parable about the kingdom of God, talking about women and oil. And right before that, he talked about another parable, which is very similar to this. But Jesus is telling these parables, these stories, these metaphorical situations that explain a deeper truth. He's revealing to us the mysteries of God that we are to steward. And so Jesus says, the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one servant, he gave 5 talents. Now again, talents aren't abilities, it's money. And when I tell you how much a talent is worth, it's gonna blow your mind. So to one, he gave 5 talents, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent. So one guy got 5 talents, one guy got 2, one guy got 1, and Jesus did this according to each of the servant's ability. Then he went away, and spoiler alert, Jesus is the master in the story here. Because the going away is him ascending back to heaven, right? So Easter Sunday, Jesus dies on the cross, or Good Friday, dies on the cross. Easter Sunday, he rises from the grave. The Bible tells us for 40 days, he ministered in his resurrected form, encouraging his disciples. And then after that 40-day point, he went back to heaven. He ascended back, and he is currently seated right now at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for your behalf. Amen. That should have been a bigger amen. Because when the Son of God is praying to the Father of God, the Father God, about my needs and your needs, that guess whose prayers gets answered? Yes, amen. Amen. But we know that the Bible also teaches that there will be a time when Jesus returns. And the Bible is very clear. It will happen at an hour that we do not expect. So anybody on YouTube that's telling you they know when Jesus is coming back is a liar and should be rebuked for their lies. And the reason why I know they're a liar is because in Acts chapter 1, Jesus himself said, I don't know. So if Jesus doesn't know, the dude on YouTube don't know. And it also indicates something about Jesus. Even though Jesus knows everything, there's something he willingly doesn't need to know. Why? Because Jesus himself models for us what it looks like to be a servant. A servant doesn't need to know. They just need to be ready when the master says go. And so we're waiting for that glorious moment. The Bible calls this the blessed hope of believers, when Jesus returns and comes and takes us back. Your blessed hope as a Christian is not getting more stuff. Your blessed hope as a Christian isn't getting your healing. Your blessed hope as a believer isn't to see the world safe. Your blessed hope as a believer is the same as my blessed hope as a believer, that one day Jesus is going to come back. He's going to remove us from this fallen humanity, and he's going to put us in his glorious heavenly kingdom. But there's an in-between time where God is asking us to manage things well. And so that's this in-between time when the master has gone away. And so hopefully you're catching the imagery here. The servants are you and me. And I love this because he distributes these talents. Now remember, I told you a talent is a unit of money. And so a talent in those days was the equivalent of 20 years of a laborer's wage. So 20 years of a laborer's salary. In the state of Pennsylvania, the average laborer's salary is roughly $35,000 a year. So if you make more than that, praise God. If you make less than that, praise God. Because it's not yours anyway, it's his. But we see that Jesus leaves these servants with different measurements of 20 years of a salary. So just to give you a frame of reference, 20 years, one talent, 20 years at $35,000 is $700,000 per talent. So the guy who got 5 talents, he got $3.5 million. Million dollars. The guy who got 2 got $1.4 million. And the guy who got 1 got $700,000. Now, this is important because I want you to grasp this. Jesus gave, all of you are like, man, those are big sums of money. Imagine somebody says, here's 700K. Do something with it until I come back. Because remember, it's not ours, it's his. But we see that Jesus, he divides them up according to the servant's ability. And he does it at his own discretion. He does it how he wants to do it. And I want to pause here for a minute because here's the thing. A lot of us hate on God because we feel like we don't have enough. And in a minute, we're going to see the way to get more from God. But God knows you better than you know you, and he knows you can get what you got. But if you steward it well, he gives you more. And so, like I said, if you feel like things are out of reach, the goal then isn't to work harder, try harder. The goal is to steward better and watch God bless you. But some of us will hate on other people. There's a preposterous notion that people at McDonald's should make the same as the CEO of McDonald's. That is foolish. I wouldn't let the people that work at most McDonald's watch my dog. I probably wouldn't let the CEO watch my dog either. But I know my dog would be in a better place than he was at. But the thing I'm trying to make is this. The money is always attached to the level of responsibility. The boss of the company ain't the same as the employee, y'all. Because the employee punches out and their day is done. The boss's day is never done. I've been an executive of companies, of a nonprofit. I ain't never rest. Because you know what? I went home thinking about how everyone else was gonna get paid. Nobody else thought that about me. They probably just looked at me and hated on me. I can't believe he gets living. And so the point I'm trying to make is this. Don't get caught up in the mindset of what you do or don't have or who has more or this, that, and the third. You ever notice you never hate on people that have less? Because you're jealous. I remember the Lord spoke this to me one time. I was reading through the book of James. I'm hitting James chapter 4. And the Lord asked me one time, he said, what makes you think you're not the most blessed person on planet Earth? And I had to chew on that for a minute. And the first thought, and I know this was God helping me, that came into my mind, the reason why I didn't feel like I was the most blessed person on planet Earth is because I was too busy looking at other people's stuff. Because if I only look at what I have, oh my gosh, I'm blessed. Oh my goodness. Come on. So I just want to say that to help you out today. Because whatever you have, God has given you according to your ability. But now if you flex your ability to steward well, he'll give you more. Because we're going to read it later on. When you're faithful with little, you'll be given much more. The reason why you don't have much more yet is because you haven't learned to be faithful with the little. That's why we're doing a biblical stewardship series. Verse 16. He who had received the 5 talents, that old uppity so-and-so, 5 talents, $3.5 million. I could do 3.5. No, you couldn't. You couldn't. You know how I know? You know how many dudes that make it into pro sports end up broker than they were before they went in? Because they never learned how to steward it right. He who received 5 talents went at once and traded them. So he went to like the stock market, he put them on deposit, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents, he made 2 talents more. But he who would receive the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, for some of us, we might think that that's a good idea because I don't want to lose what I have. But in a moment, we're going to see that that's not the best course of action. But we do see this. Each one of the servants did something with what they were given, but only 2 produced something with what they were given. And even though the guy with 5 produced 5 more, he still produced at the same rate of production as the dude with 2. They both doubled. Did you catch it? See, because here's the thing. Don't worry about what you have or don't have. Just double it. Steward in such a way that it produces a double return. Are you with me this morning? It doesn't matter what you have. It matters what you do with it. It matters what you do with it. It matters what you do with everything God gave you. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Did you catch that? Now, some of you are like, wow, $3.5 million, that seems like a lot. Well, to God, it's a little. I remember when I used to have to believe God for $1,000 a month to keep the church that I was pastoring open. And God moved me into a situation where I'm overseeing almost 100 churches, and I don't have to believe God for $1,000 a month. I got to believe God for $1 million a month. I remember it when I saw $1 million for the first time in my life. See, and what God wants to do is shift your frame of reference that $3.5 million isn't a lot. The mysteries of God are a lot. But if you steward that well, you'll get more. You'll get more. You'll get more. He wants to put you over more. Do you want it? Hear me. Do you want it? So we see the master comes back, because at the end of the age, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to settle accounts. What's going to be the report of your faithfulness? Are you going to be happy when you see him? See, because we know, we've all heard, I can't wait. Anybody that's been a Christian any amount of time, I can't wait to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, if you haven't been good and faithful, you won't hear it. Stop kidding yourself because you prayed a prayer 20 years ago, you're going to go to heaven. If you really prayed that prayer and it really changed something in your heart, then something shifts in your heart that then shifts in your mind that says everything belongs to God. I have a job to do with it, and I'm going to do everything I can to make my master happy when he shows up. Some of us wasting our time, wasting our money, wasting our abilities, and thinking we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's not what the Bible says. Some of you are like, you should go back to Mongolia. See, a lot of us live like, when Jesus shows up, he's going to give everyone a pat on the back and a juice box for being a good kid. No. 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 If you are not serving God with everything you got, then it is more likely than not that you truly haven't been changed, because if he's your master, it wouldn't be a question. God, I'd like to say, but I'll let it go. But we see another paradigm here. There's blessings for faithfulness with God's resources. The first thing we get is praise from the master. Can I let you in on a secret? Jesus wants to commend you. Give him a reason to, please. Have you ever seen like the Olympics awards and he's crying? And some Olympic judge or somebody that nobody will ever remember comes and they put the medal on your neck. Jesus wants to do that for you. Can you grab that? Depending on who's in the White House, some of y'all will be excited to have the president put a medal on your neck. The King of the universe wants to commend you. Give him a reason to. Give him a reason to. The second blessing we see is this, an increase in resources. You've been faithful with little. Here's much more. It's way more simple than you make it. Now, granted, some of y'all are praying for more money. And God's going to bless you with more hours at work. And then you're going to curse God about it. Some of y'all praying for a spouse, and he's going to bless you with wisdom and insight on how to fix you. Yeah. Yeah. See, but when we honor God with stewardship, he gives us more. And he's not a man that he should lie or the son of man that he should change his mind. He wants to bless you. The third blessing we see is this. An invitation into the master's joy. Yeah, I don't know that I can adequately describe what that is. But I'm excited about Jesus being excited about what I did. That makes me excited. You remember when you were a little kid and you got an A or a B for some of you, or a C, and it was a big day? You wanted to tell mom and dad about it? Yeah. You couldn't wait? I can't wait to see Jesus. And hopefully, I live my life in a way that Jesus is going to have to be, it's going to have to be difficult for him to not be excited for what I did. That's how I want to live. Does that make sense to you? This is the point of this. It's not about even getting more. I want to make him happy. I want to enter into his joy. See, that's why Luke chapter 16, verse 11, Jesus says, if you have not been faithful with earthly wealth, how will anyone ever bless you with true riches? True riches is joy and peace. True riches is knowing that the King of the universe has your back no matter what. That's true riches, and Jesus wants to bless you with that. Matthew 25, verses 23 through 25. I'm going to have Caden come up now, and we'll close this thing out. It says, and he also who had two talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. Remember, it's not what you have, it's what you do with it. They both doubled. They both produced the same rate of return. Stop comparing yourself to other people and just put your hand to the plow and say, I'm going to do everything I can to produce a great rate of return in my life. Verse 23, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter in to the joy of your master. See, they both got the same blessings. Well, he only produced two. The other guy produced five. Doesn't matter. What matters is how they stewarded it, what they did with it. But verse 24 is where the story turns, and it says, he also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. He knew him. He knew his master. Reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. We see two of the servants were productive because they stewarded well. But the third servant, who maybe to us, he saved it, he hid it. But he was unproductive. And the reason he was unproductive is because he was motivated by fear. You know, when God showed up in the garden after Adam and Eve sinned, you know what Adam said to God? I went and I hid. See, our unwillingness to honor God is always connected to our sin. And this guy, he knew God. He knew the master. But he didn't know him well enough to do what he knew the master would want him to do. Because I don't know if you noticed it in the story, the master never told them what to do. But two, because they had the heart of the master, they did exactly what the master would have wanted. And he was pleased with them. But one, even though he knew the master, he refused to do what he knew the master would want him to do. And so he responded like a sinful man and hid instead of doing what was right. Our true understanding of Jesus as Lord is not evidenced in our best intentions, but in our actions. You can show him better than you can tell him. And that's why, because we know how scary, especially when it comes to our resources. Some of you right now, you came in here today, you already were feeling the crushing weight of, I don't have enough time in the day to do what I want to do. But Jesus wants to shift your mindset and your focus to say, if you stop making about doing what you want to do, and start prioritizing what I want you to do, you will find the time that you're looking for to do what you want to do. Ephesians 5 calls it redeeming the time because the days are evil. Some of you came in here today and you feel like you're not skilled enough to do what God has called you to do. I just want to break that lie off of your life right now. There's never been a person born who doesn't have what it takes to serve Jesus. But the big one, and the one that's scary for the most of us, we're going to give you an opportunity just in a moment to break free from that fear, is what do I do with my treasure, my financial resources? Some of you came in here today and said, I don't have enough to give. I want to challenge that notion by saying, you don't have enough to not give. Because if it's true, and I can testify to this in my own life, it is true, that when you're faithful with the little, you'll get much more. Then if you take the little that you have that you think you need to dig a hole and hide to save for a rainy day, I'd encourage you today to entrust it into the hands of the ones who tells the rain to stop. You don't have enough to not give. Because the way God blesses is when we're faithful with what he's given us. And so I want to encourage you, whether it's your time, your talent, or your treasure, it's not yours, it's his. Use it to serve him and he'll bless you with the overflow. It's that simple. And maybe you're struggling. You're like that servant. You're afraid. That's why we're starting a program where we want to help people budget, specifically your time and your treasure. We'll help you with your talent, too. We'll help you strengthen and grow your ability. Actually, next Sunday night, November 17th, Growth Track, we're going to help develop the skills and abilities in your life that can make a difference in God's church and in the world. We're going to do that. But we're starting this new program, this budgeting guidelines help, where somebody will sit down with you and help you look at your finances and look at your calendar. Because those are the two things that will tell you whether or not Jesus is your Lord or not. Where you spend your time, where you spend your money. Because we want to help you to honor God so that you can be blessed. You can get more information at that at the connection point, and Melanie will be back there to help you out with that in just a moment. But right now, here's what I want us to do. I just want to take some time and offer to God the most important thing that we can ever give him. And that's our whole heart. And so if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe you gave a part of yourself to him some time ago when you were in a tough spot, but you never gave him your whole heart. It's time to steward that heart better and say, I'm going to give you my whole heart. And so if you're here today and you never received Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, you've never acknowledged him as Savior and Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. And I want you to just by raising your hand say, I want to receive Jesus today and I want to give him my whole heart to serve him, to honor him, and to love him. If that's you, just stick your hand up right now. Give him the thing he cares the most about. Give him the thing he cares the most about. Give him the thing he cares the most about right now. Just give it to him. And I want you to just begin to pray. Someone will probably come alongside of you, help you out with it. But I just want you to, you can pray along with me and just say, Jesus, I give you my heart. I know that you paid a high price to have my heart. You gave your life. You died on a cross. You came out of heaven to die for me so that I could have the opportunity to freely give you my heart. And so right now, Jesus, I give you my heart. Not a part of it, not a piece of it. I give you the whole thing. And I ask you right now, Jesus, to come and change my life. Give me your heart. Give me a new heart. Give me a new life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me to know the mysteries of God. Help me to steward my time, my treasure, my talent in a way that will make you happy and invite me into your joy. God, I give you my life right now. I give you my life. I give you everything right now. And if you're here today and you gave your life to Jesus, but there's been pieces you've been holding back, I want you to pray that prayer right now. I want you to pray it and just say, God, I give you everything right now. Whatever you've been holding back, whatever you've been keeping, whatever you dug a hole and buried in, Jesus wants it right now, right now. He's putting it on, he's putting his finger on your heart where it is right now. What's that thing, that relationship, that hope, that dream? Some of you right now, God is challenging you. It is time for you to start honoring him with the first fruits of your finances. Some of you right now, God is putting on your heart, it's time for you to get involved in serving him. Whether that's in this house or somewhere else. God's saying, it's time for you to stop spending your time so much on social media and get more in the Bible. Get with some people in prayer. Right now, what's he putting it on? The Lord, the Master is coming in. He's everything he touches, mine, mine, mine. So God, we give you whatever that is right now. We give it to you. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you guys help me welcome Amber and Pam to come up and tell us some of the amazing ways that you can steward your time, treasure, and talent here at Bridge City Church.